All right, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. There's a very familiar passage here. And what we have is we have an episode in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that's very helpful to us tonight. He has been invited, begged, to go to Jairus' house because Jairus' little daughter is at the point of death. And Jesus Christ has been asked to come and lay his hands on her that she might be healed and that she might live. On the way to Jairus' house, he meets a woman. And it's that woman tonight and what happens in her meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ that we want to study. That passage of Scripture is found in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. The Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touchest me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Fabulous passage of Scripture, and there's something in this passage for all of us tonight. I turn your attention once again to the last three words of verse 31. Who touched me? Who touched me? Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dive right into the text and see what the Lord has for us. Doyle, would you pray for us, please? Amen. 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 You know, you have to really consider when you read this text how desperate this woman was. She's not unlike many of us. And it may not be apparent to anybody. I don't know that it was apparent to anybody in the crowd that had thronged Jesus Christ as he was on his way to Jairus' house. When he went with Jairus, many people knew what Jesus could do, and that's why the Bible says in verse 24 that much people followed him and thronged him. You know, a lot of times when you consider a church service like this, and of course we had many more here this morning than we do tonight, you consider a church service like this, it's easy to hide in a crowd. It's easy to be here and be in the same shape that this woman was in and not anybody else know how desperate you are for something from the Lord Jesus Christ. Being in the ministry and being in the pastorate, of course, I have the opportunity to know how people get really, really pressed in their spirits and pressed emotionally and pressed spiritually and pressed physically and pressed even psychologically with the things that weigh them down to the point of tears. I had somebody right after the service this morning that came to me and just in desperation mentioned a prayer request that she had, and the battle that she's fighting in her life has been ongoing. She's been dealing with this problem now for years, but she's been hiding in the crowd. I mean, you're not here tonight, so don't worry that I'm talking to you. If you came to me and said something to me today, I'm not dealing with you individually from the pulpit. What I'm trying to say is, nobody in this crowd was aware that she's been having this problem. And nobody in the crowd that thronged Jesus Christ was aware how spent and beaten down and consumed with this problem this woman was. 12 years is a long time to keep going back and forth to doctors trying to get a healing for a problem that you have and coming up empty time after time. You know, when you go to the doctor with a medical problem, you really go in the hopes that you can find a solution. And even when you go in the hopes that you can find a solution, and even when you go because you're dealing with a doctor in whom you have a lot of confidence, there's always that apprehension. You're going to have to fight with the insurance company at some point. You're going to have to sit in the waiting room for some length of time. You're going to have to sit in an examination room for a period of time. You are then going to get a 30-second visit with a doctor who is going to try to diagnose the extent of your problem and the frustration with it, and then walk out of the room and tell you, I'll get back to you, or the lab will report on the results, or I'll have my nurse call, or something like that. And then you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And during that period of time, you imagine that you're going to die. You begin to make your funeral arrangements. You verify that your premiums have been paid on your life insurance policy, and you begin to think about the hymns you once sung at your funeral. And that's on the first visit. You know, this woman had been dealing with this for 12 years. The Bible says in verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians. So in our day, she would have gone to her family physician and then to a specialist for a neurological disorder and then to a specialist for a hematological disorder and then to another specialist for a gynecological disorder and then to another specialist for an endocrinological problem. And, you know, it just goes on and on, and they can't find the source of the problem. And the suffering is in the waiting, is in the failure to arrive at a cure, is in the expense, is in the stress, is in all of that stuff. And it will wear you down. Now, this is in a medical context, but we have these same kinds of problems in a legal context. We have these same kind of problems in financial contexts. We have these same kind of problems in marital contexts. We have these same kinds of problems in the context of child rearing, in educational contexts. There are all kinds of situations in your life where you're going to find yourself suffering under the burden of a problem that won't go away. And it's frustrating. And it weighs on you. And just, let me tell you, the normal life that we live is stressful. It is stressful to try to get a sufficient night's sleep, get up, take care of whatever situation you have to take care of at home with kids or whatever, get in your vehicle, drive to work, drive back, deal with the bills, deal with the IRS, deal with everything. I mean, normal, and then to compound it with something serious and significant like this woman had is just too much. Notice in verse 26, she had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's frustrating. If you have a marriage problem and you are doing whatever you know to do, you argue, you fight, you pray, you love, you buy flowers, you cook a meal, you go do something together and suffer many things, and then find out that you are nothing better but are growing worse. That's frustrating. That's very frustrating. That will weigh you down, and what happens is it narrows your attention to options that are available to you. You get to a place where you say, you know what, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. Many times in the ministry I've had people come to me and say, I'm at my wit's end. And of course, the first thing I'm thinking is, why have you waited until now? It's the first thing that comes to mind. Why didn't we start dealing with this when the first episode came up? Part of the problem is that when you have some sort of a problem in your life with sin, you have some sort of a problem in your life with your marriage or your finances, you don't want anybody else to know you're having trouble. You try to deal with the problem discreetly, see if you can solve it with the resources that are available to you. You don't mind confiding in an attorney. You don't mind confiding in a doctor or a psychologist, because these are people you can pay and leave. They don't know anybody else around here, and they're not going to tell anybody what's going on in your life. You come to a pastor or confide in a good friend in church, you suddenly have opened yourself up to a different level. I think what the people today call vulnerability. And you find yourself in a greater sense of distress. So she was trying everything that she knew to do medically to deal with this problem, this issue of blood that she had had 12 years. You know from the Bible, if you read your Old Testament, this woman was unclean. When a woman has an issue of blood, if this woman was married, I don't know that she was, but if she were married, that cut off, scripturally, any romantic relations with her husband. So that's added press to the family. Also, if this woman is suffering with an issue of blood and she's unclean, that means that any access to God through the temple and any of those normal sacrificial things, those not available to her because she's unclean. It also gives her a complex because you know what she's thinking. She's thinking in her own mind, there must be something wrong with me. I must have had some sort of bad sin in my life for the Lord to be doing this to me. Why is God punishing me this way? You know that had to be going through her mind. And so what it does, it compounds the shame. It compounds the guilt. Even though there may not have been anything like that, there are a lot of aspects that are of her life that are affected by what's going on with her problem. You know something? I hope tonight that there is someone here or that there are some ones here who are feeling what this woman felt in dealing with a problem, because I tell you what, in reading what she did, I can tell you there's a solution for it tonight for you. You don't have to leave here the way that you came tonight. A lot of times people will come to a meeting like this and start to hear the introduction to a message and read the passage, and they'll think, God, perhaps you have something here for me tonight in this, but I don't want to open myself to whatever you're going to say tonight in this, because the result of the preaching may be so emotional I may find myself wanting to respond to you in such a way that other people are going to know you've been talking to me. And I don't want people to know that. Not here, not tonight, not in this place. I'd rather you deal with me at midnight in the privacy of my own home. But what you found in your 12 years of dealing with whatever the problem is in your life, that hasn't happened yet. You see, this woman was in a public place. She was in a throng. She was with much people. And she's going to have to do all this. And she's hoping to be able to maintain some secrecy while she does. You know the rest of the story. That doesn't happen. She's exposed. And you don't want to be exposed. You know why people don't respond at a message with some sort of a visible thing? We kind of make it easy on you around here. We say make an altar out of your seat, you know, and some of you just bow over and just stay seated there so nobody will think you're, you know, that wasn't for me. I'm praying for the guy at the altar. He didn't hit me with a message tonight. Listen, we need to get beyond that. We've been together a long time now. We've been together as a church, some of you for a little less time, but you know what? You're fit right in. We've been together for a long time now. We know each other well enough to know this, that if somebody in the congregation is hurting and they need to get to God, we should open a pathway. And I don't know that this throng did. Open a pathway, let them out, let them have some access to God. Even if it's a public display of whatever it is, they're having to deal with God privately and not have them feel that they are to be ashamed somehow that they had to respond to God in that message. I know I've hated invitations where the preacher, you know, offers the invitation, and I know I'm supposed to go, but I'm a pastor, you know, and I'm not going to go up there. And then all of a sudden they have two or three verses of the hymn, and then the pastor comes back up, and I'm thinking, oh, please, God, let's wrap this up. And he says, I know some of you know that you need to be up here, and you're just ashamed. And now you're going to come up after, I mean, now not only did everybody going to know you needed the message, but now you had to wait until you were shamed in front of everybody to make your way to the altar. I was like, wow. So we come in here and try to like be lost in the crowd. Tonight, why don't you just get over being lost in the crowd and recognize there may be something in this message God has for you. And if it involves a little exposure, I don't mean the public confession of something that was going on deep and dark and secretive in your life. I mean that God's dealing with you and you want to deal with God. This woman made a move toward God. And she was not ashamed to do it. She was out of options. I'm going to ask you something here tonight before we delve into some of the things that are in this text here. Sunday night, long invitation, Young at Heart Choir sang. I'm going to ask you something. Is there anything been going on in your life? It's still not solved, still not resolved. And I mean, it's something going on with you. I'm not talking about something going on with one of your children. That, you know, if they're here tonight, let them deal with God on their own. I'm talking about with you. What you might want to do right now as we delve into this text is say, listen, God, I'm here tonight. I didn't just come to show up, be a part of the Sunday night crowd, say I was here for the first Sunday night service. I came here to get something. Okay, then, why don't you open your heart and open your mind to the work of the Spirit of God in this text and let Him do a work in your life? Don't you know this woman went away rejoicing for what God had done in her life? This is more than you getting an exercise in faithfulness by coming back for a Sunday night service. God might have something just for you here tonight. As a matter of fact, if you come tonight in the Spirit of God, I do want something from you tonight. You're going to get something out of this. It may not be anything like what this woman got. It may not be anything like anybody else got. But I'm going to tell you, if you are hurting, and you have suffered through something in your life that's still not done, maybe with a private sin, maybe with a financial situation, maybe with a marital situation, maybe with a spiritual situation, and all the other things, a physical situation. Something that is really, really pressing you down. Consider what this woman did and what she found in Jesus Christ. He said, "Who touched me?" And in saying that, we see a side of the Lord Jesus Christ that helps us to understand we are in the right place tonight, under the right set of circumstances, to deal with the right person about a problem we have not been able to shake. Let me say to you tonight that if you can get to Jesus Christ like this woman got to Jesus Christ, you can solve a problem tonight. And if it's not completely solved in the way that it was, at least you can make enough progress tonight to be able to get to a solution. Sometime, right, it's between Sunday school and church or after church, I don't remember, we were visiting. And it was George Mixon, and we were talking about Mary's brother Elmer, who eventually got saved. And his pastor had been dealing with him. And Elmer admitted, he said this, "I know that I am a sinner and I need salvation." And Elmer's pastor said, "No, I don't have any problem with that at all. You just keep coming back. I know that man's going to get saved." You know why? Because he had gotten to a place where he admitted that he was in trouble and needed Jesus Christ to do something for him. If you can get to that place right now and say, "Okay, Lord, I am a sinner in need of a spiritual touch from the Lord Jesus Christ," you can get something out of this message tonight. It may not be the final solution, but I'll tell you what, if you can make that admission and get something, you are on your way to getting this problem in your life solved. Notice what she found about the Lord Jesus Christ that I hope you and I can see tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, in verses 26 and 27, notice His approachability. "She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment." Now, I don't know what it is about us, but we will try every solution available before we will try Jesus Christ. don't know what that is. But it's true. I've watched it over and over again, particularly where there's a couple that works through things. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was approachable. You got to consider what she had to go through. Here she is with this problem, and she knows that she's not supposed to be touching other people and things like that. There's this big crowd of people that are gathered here, and what she's got to do is she's got to be able to get through that throng and that press of people and find a way to get to Jesus Christ so she can touch His garment. An easy thing for her to be able to do is look at that crowd, which could have easily filled this room, no doubt, with Jesus in the middle, and say, there's no way that I'm going to be able to get to Him today. He's too busy. He's too covered up. There are too many people there. This is going to be too hard. You know, Jesus Christ, when it comes to these kinds of problems, we start talking, we say, Heavenly Father, and I pray like that. But as soon as you say Heavenly Father, it sounds like He's way up there, and we're way down here. And it's going to be real hard to get to Him. Perhaps what happens to you is that in this particular area of your life, the problem is so bad, and you're so ashamed of what it's doing in your life, or you're so burdened about what it's doing in your life, that you don't think you can get to Him. Because of the nature of the problem. I don't know what it is in every case because it differs from person to person, but I know that many people come to Jesus Christ as a last resort and not as a first necessity. They wait till they try everything else and then they say, okay. And it's somehow or another, they don't see Jesus Christ as approachable enough. You know, we're dealing with a situation right now, and the fella has said, listen, I am so far gone, I don't think I can get to Him. I've seen sinners on their deathbed who, through vile practices in their lives, have lived such a life that they think they're on the way to hell, and they say, well, there's nothing Jesus Christ can do for me now. They don't see Him as approachable. May I tell you something tonight? You know, I don't know how this invitation is going to go. I didn't come in here with any preconceived ideas, but just the way that it senses what's going to happen is by the time we get to the end of this, God's going to want to help you with a problem you're having, and it's going to involve you leaving your seat and making your way to an altar. And may I say something? If you do, you're going to find Jesus Christ here to meet you. You're going to find Him available. You're going to find Him approachable. You're going to find Him willing to help in your situation. You know, it's a funny thing because whenever we get burdened, and particularly when it's an area of sin in our lives, we think somehow or another the problem we're having is unique, and this is something that Jesus has never had to deal with before. But the Bible says, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It's common to man. Your problem's not unique. You're not the first one that ever had it. You're not the last one who will ever have it. But I can tell you something. You can get to Jesus Christ with that problem tonight, and He will not turn you away. He didn't walk along that. Listen, you know He's God manifest in the flesh. He wasn't walking along there with this big press, this big throng of people here, and then all of a sudden He sees this woman. You know, if He can read the thoughts of the Pharisees, He can know some woman sneaking up behind, right? Sneaking up there and trying to get a touch of Him and turn around and say, who do you think you are trying to touch me? I'm holy. You're unclean. He doesn't do that. It's not as hard as you think it is to come to Jesus Christ. A big part of the problem with approachability is not His willingness to see you. It's your willingness to humble yourself and put away your pride and come to Him and say, I can't do this. I need your help. So often in our pride, we think, well, I'm spiritual. I've been around here. I've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever the period of time. I ought to be able to do this on my own. You can't do anything on your own. So don't go down that road and let the devil. I'm going to tell you what, you know, I'm talking about the approachability of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know all the manifestations and the working of the devil, but I'll tell you what he'll do. He will shame you with whatever your problem is and cause you to want to hide from God rather than to come to God. He'll try to put a distance between the two of you where you're not able to talk this over with the Lord at all and say somehow or another, your Savior's too busy to be bothered with a thing like that. You ought to know better. Let me tell you something. Don't listen to any of those voices. You just get to Jesus Christ. He is approachable. Your problem is not so bad that he won't help you. Notice something else, not only his approachability, but look here in verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. There was no predecessor for this. She's the one that came up with this idea. You keep reading in the Gospels, so there are other people trying to touch him. As a matter of fact, the healing power of God in men was so evident that by the time Peter was doing it, they were hoping just to get in the shadow of Peter, hoping that they might be healed, and Paul could touch a handkerchief and, you know, started a whole movement in California with prayer cloths. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She didn't say, I might be whole. She said, if I can get to him, I can get this taken care of. She knew that. You know what she was depending upon? Not only his approachability, that she could get to him and he wouldn't turn her away. Okay? But also, she was depending upon his reliability. She knew him by testimony that he can and will fix your problems. Let me ask you something. Is there anything in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads you to believe that he's not faithful and reliable? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Has he ever been unfaithful to do any of that for you? Have you ever noticed Jesus Christ to be unfaithful about anything? I never have. Listen, I have doctors just like you do. And they don't always get it right. You ever notice that? They're human beings, and that's why they don't get it right, and that's why they call their business a practice. Sometimes you're the guinea pig for the benefit of somebody else. They're not sure that what they're going to do with you is going to work. Now, a lot of times they are. But you take cancer treatments and things like that. They provide you with the therapies. They say in the cases of many people, the cancer goes into remission and we're able to give you an extension of life. Doesn't always work like that, does it? Sometimes the person goes on and dies or whatever their physiological thing is, just doesn't work for them like it does for some people. It's a practice. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a testimony of reliability. He has a testimony of faithfulness. If you can get to him, I promise you, there is a way that he can deal with your problem and fix it. It's the funniest thing in the world. I've said it something about it this morning. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You don't need to go find an author in a bookstore who has written a book about your problem. Before you go to Jesus Christ and exhaust every means that he has. The guy that wrote the book is not reliable. He's trying to make a living for his family, among other things. And what he has to offer you works for some, doesn't work for others. But Jesus Christ, he works. He's reliable. She said it. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She knew that. And I'm going to tell you something. I suppose everybody in here tonight is saved. I don't know that. When you came to Jesus Christ and asked him to save your soul, did you get saved? Are you sure about that? Why are you sure about that? Why are you sure? Because the Bible said so. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now you know that. If you can trust Him with your soul and He is reliable enough to keep your soul, can you not trust Him with something physical, emotional, or spiritual that is not as important as your soul? I think so. So Jesus Christ, she found, is approachable. She found that He was reliable, but that's not all. This is what's so great. She found His approachability, His reliability. Look at verse 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You know, I like what it says there, she felt in her body. We don't live on feelings, but how often when somebody has had the thorough preaching of the Word of God and they finally come to Christ, there is such a lifting and such an indwelling of the Spirit of God. They know it. There is immediate witness within them that they've gotten saved and a testimony in the Word of God, which is even better than their own feelings. I'm in. I'm in. You know what she found? Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. You know what she found? She found not only His approachability and reliability, but she found His all-sufficiency. His all-sufficiency. Let me ask you a question. When you came to Jesus Christ to get saved, was it your faith in Christ plus your works that saved you? Was it your faith in Christ plus your faithfulness to keep coming to church that got you saved? Was it your faith in Jesus Christ and baptism that saved you? Was it your faith in Jesus Christ and your rosary or your just fill in the blank that saved you? What saved you? Jesus Christ. What kind of help did He need from you? What kind of help does He need from the angels? What kind of help does He need from any other personage who, like a saint or anything for your salvation? Is He not all sufficient for your salvation? What if your behavior is not so good the day after you get saved? Don't hesitate, come on. No biggie. I mean, you know, it's a personal deal. Get over it. You deal with it with Christ. But it doesn't limit His strength and ability to keep you saved. Is that right? He is all sufficient for your salvation. Did you know that He's also all sufficient for your financial problems? Did you know that He is all sufficient for your sin problems? Did you know that He is all sufficient for your psychological problems? Did you know that He is all sufficient for your marital problems? We don't have marital problems. We're happy. Can't you see? Did you know you're all sufficient for your kid problems? Did you know He's all sufficient for your business problems? You say, well, yeah, I know that, preacher, but I gotta do this and I gotta do that and I gotta do this and I gotta do that or I will never be successful in my business or things like that. May I tell you something? You can do all those things, and if Jesus Christ doesn't bless your business, you won't have a business. There are a lot of people in this country who are more qualified to run business than some of us in here who run successful businesses, but the difference between them and you is God's blessing what you're doing. And if He removes that blessing, you can go to Harvard if you want to and get an MBA, you're still going to file bankruptcy. Which tells me He is all sufficient. You say, well, I know it. I have to be diligent. Of course you do, and that goes without standing. But may I tell you something? If you depend upon your diligence and your discipline without depending upon God first and foremost, you're going to find yourself behind the eight ball. I say all of these things start and end with Jesus Christ. He is all sufficient. When you see people that are having to go to be psychoanalyzed and people that are having to go do all these other things, you know what the problem is? They have discounted the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to fix their problem. That's what you've done. You say, well, cannot counselors help? Absolutely. Counselors can help. But listen, it's not the counselor. All that a counselor is going to do for you And I'm talking about that could be me as a pastor or associate pastor here or a good friend that's godly. They're going to point you to the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. That's how they help you. They get you to the solution, to the solver of problems. Listen, if Jesus Christ could speak this universe into existence with a word and keep it in existence with a word, He could fix your problem. Because your problem is not as big as keeping this universe together. There is a lot of pressure in this universe to cause it to break apart. You know, we had it was a very refreshing trip to Boston. I appreciated the time off. I needed it. And saw a lot of history and a lot of things like that. But you know, the interesting thing, I saw several churches where we were there in Concord, Lexington, and Boston. The famous churches, the Old South Church, the Park Street Church, the Old North Church. A lot of things going inside, saw all these things. A lot of testimonies of the work of God. When you look at the histories that are recorded there, what you see are you see all the social activism that has taken place in those churches. You see a lot of the history, like there was a lantern hung in the steeple of this church, and that was used by Paul Revere and the Patriots in order to signal which way the British were going to make their approach into Lexington, Concord, all that kind of stuff. You see all that? And then you see a financial center, man. You see some of the most beautiful brownstones that architects have ever developed, and you see all kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not going to go through and repeat everything that I saw. I'll show you the pictures next week. Home video. But you know what I didn't see? I didn't see anywhere, a testimony of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus Christ is the one that's keeping all this together. How do you think people who go through the things we're talking about tonight up there know about the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? They don't know as much as they used to know because there's not as much testimony and witness to the fact. But you know. You sit under this Bible preaching. You sit under this Bible teaching. You read your Bibles and you pray. But somehow or another, after doing all that, you think the effort still rests on your shoulders. It doesn't rest on your shoulders. It rests on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been dealing with a sin in your life you can't break, and you've been trying every rabbit trail you can find. You know what you really need to do? You and Jesus Christ need to have a face-to-face and just stay on that thing like this woman did until you get the touch of God in your life. And He can fix it. And I don't care if it's emotional, if it's supernatural, if it's physical, if it's spiritual, and all the other O's in life. He, this woman found, is all sufficient. Jesus, that's what I'm talking about, Jesus. You know, one of the problems in the ministry that I experienced early on, I like to help people. But if you don't need help, then I don't have anything to do. So one of the things is, I call it the need to be needed. I keep you in a situation where you need help so I can always be stroked that I'm helping you. We're not doing each other a favor here. You need to get to Jesus Christ and get fixed, and I need to get out of this trap and just keep pointing people to Jesus Christ. I didn't realize that, but I think one of the hearts of a minister is the need to be needed, but you got to make sure what you do is transfer that to an ability to point people to the cross of Christ. If they're lost, and to the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ if they're saved and having problems. He can fix it all. He fixed marriages. He can fix bankruptcies. He can fix anything. If you believe that? Even if you don't believe that, He's still all-sufficient. Did you know that? Some people say, well, it all depends upon my faith. Well, that might affect your approach to Him, but that's not going to affect His ability to work with you. He can do anything He wants to. You know, He'd kill me right now. You say, well, He wouldn't do that. If He wanted to, He would. Would He be good if He did it? Absolutely. Would Ann think so? It depends on the mood that day. But But eventually, if she took that to Jesus Christ, you know what? He would help her get over that and realize, you know what? That was a good thing I did for you and your husband. I think about Ron and Mary Lee Sykes right now and how those doctors are trying to get him to a place of stability and trying to help him. Let me tell you something. I think they're doing a good job. But you know what? They're going to need a lot more than doctors to get through the problem they're facing. Because they're going to have to see the goodness of God. They're going to have to rely upon the grace of God. They're going to have to walk in the peace of God. They're going to have to be guided by the wisdom of God. There's only one person who can help them through that situation. That's Jesus Christ. He could have stopped it. He didn't stop it. They've got to continue to love Him through it. They've got to understand as much as God will let them understand and know in the whole time He's good. And He didn't change His character in their situation. And there's not a doctor, psychologist, or a Christian author that can help them with that more than Jesus Christ can do that for them. He is all sufficient in that situation. And I believe that. We know what she learned. She learned His approachability, His reliability, His all sufficiency. And look at this in verses 30 and 31. Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him. Let me just stop right there and make an interjection that I saw in a book that DeWitt Talmadge wrote. If you minister to people, it's going to suck something out of you if they're getting help. And if you feel that happening, that's not unusual. That's what goes with the territory. When you're a teacher in a Sunday school class of children and you have to help them and you feel something going out of you, something draining your supply of spiritual energy, that's what happens in that situation. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Then you go back to the all-sufficient supplier, Jesus Christ, and recharge your batteries, just like the battery on this microphone is going to get recharged when I finish with it tonight, so that it can be used again. The ministry is draining. But that's a good thing. And if you can't stand the drain, you'll never stand the ministry. Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" May I tell you something? She saw in this not only His approachability, reliability, and all sufficiency, she saw His sensitivity. Where was He going? He was going to heal Jairus' daughter, who by the time He gets there is actually dead now. And now He's going not to heal her, but to raise her from the dead. He had a mission. He was going somewhere. He really did not need to be bothered with this woman and her infirmity. He was also thronged in the press, and the disciples marveled because there were so many people around Him. You're worried about who touched you? What are you talking about? But in the press, in the thought about Jairus' daughter, in all that was going on that day, as soon as He was able to minister to somebody else, He knew that somebody had touched Him for healing. Something had gone out of Him and He was sensitive to that. Somehow or another, we need to understand the sensitivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Bob, what do you mean?" You know, you've got a problem you need to take to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's not going to give some very spiritual giant who has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And we'll talk about fasting and it's very important. But He's not going to give that person preferential treatment over you when you're coming to Him with a need after you've been beat up by sin. As if somehow or another you had to prepare yourself in a very sanctified way to make yourself acceptable. He is so sensitive to your need. Come as you are. And He can help you. We had a lady that we led to the Lord recently and she hesitated for 2 weeks to get saved. And she kept saying, "The reason I'm hesitating is I feel like I need to clean up my life. I need to prepare myself to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." I remember years ago giving a Bible to a fellow who eventually got saved. And when he got to the point that he knew he needed to be saved, I said, "What are you going to do about that?" He said, "Now I feel like I need to clean up my life so God will accept me." Listen, if you weren't, would you go to the doctor if you didn't have a reason to go to the doctor? No. Oh, you say, "Well, it's my annual checkup." Okay, well, you don't expect anything wrong there. But I mean, if you're feeling good, you don't go to the knee doctor and say, man, I just wanted you to check my knee. You know, you're running around here jogging and carrying on, no pain. I just thought I'd come check it out and see if you could find anything wrong with it. You don't do that. You come to Him when you have a desperate need, and you come to the Lord Jesus Christ when you have a desperate need, and you will find a sensitivity and a compassion for your problem. You say, but preacher, you don't know the depth of the sin my problem involves. Doesn't make a difference. He died for all of them. One of the greatest verses in the Bible when it concerns the sensitivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had it memorized, I want to turn to it and make sure I don't misquote it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know He knows you? He knows you. The Bible says when He came down here, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't take on the form of angels. He took on the form of the seed of Abraham. Why? So He could be touched with your infirmities. He knows what it's like to go through what you're going through. You say, well, He never was married. He couldn't understand this. He never had a business that He had to run like that. He wouldn't understand the financial management problems that I'm having. He never would. No. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He is able to succor them, the Bible says. He's sensitive to your need. You know, we've talked about it a little bit this morning. I just want to reiterate it in this fashion. When your problem that you're dealing with involves your stupidity, you're thinking you need to fix it. We don't know what caused this woman to be going through the disorder she went through. But I'm telling you, no matter how you got into the fix you're in, whether it was through your stupidity or your pride or sin or just life, Jesus Christ is compassionate towards your need. You say, yeah, but the Bible also says that I'm going to have to give an account of myself before God. And I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give account of everything done in my body, whether it's good or bad. That's not going to help you fix the problem. That judgment is coming, but that judgment is a long way from now, should the Lord tarry. And you got a problem that needs to be fixed now. So you sit there and put yourself under the wrath of God without realizing His compassion. You're missing out on a great feast of life with your problem solved. Because you're hung on the severity of God, not the love of God. He knoweth them that are His. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, Jesus Christ said. Well, if He already knows all about it, and He knows how you got into it, He knows why you're there and what you're doing about it, don't you think there's nothing you have to tell Him? You cannot hide from God no matter what you do. Isn't that what you'll never forget that song. No matter where you are, no matter whatever you do, you cannot hide from God in this crowd. And He's sensitive to your need. But He can't go to work on it unless you come to Him and get His help. She found His approachability, His reliability, His all-sufficiency, His sensitivity. And just to kind of settle everything down about whatever fears may be going through your mind about what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life. Verse 32, He looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him, told Him all the truth. We don't know what all that was. I mean, she could have said, yes, I had a bleeding disorder. I touched you and you healed me. But there's something else going on here. Because she had a lot of fear, a lot of trembling, a lot of humility. She just bore her soul to Him, not knowing what He was going to do. He said unto her in verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Whatever it was, folks, she was tired, she was worn out, she was beat up. She couldn't get any other resolve and help. She was separated and alone in a crowd, ashamed, poured it all out truthfully to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what she got? She got her healing, but she got peace. She got peace. Go in peace and behold of thy plague. And that's something she hadn't experienced in at least 12 years. No peace. Tonight, you have an opportunity to begin on the right foot to take whatever it is in your life to Jesus Christ and find these things to be true in His life and leave here like she did in peace. I'm not going to intimidate you and say the only place you're going to find that is here at that altar. You're not going to find it at this altar, in your seat, or anywhere if you don't get to Jesus Christ. A lot of times at these invitations, people come to the altar, they came so everybody else will know they made the trip. It's not your approach. It's getting to Jesus Christ. I have found in my own life that I have found Him at an altar. Now, I needed to go there. The Spirit of God was indicating that desire. And I left in peace. Wherever it is, whatever it is, you got to put the thoughts of the crowd out of your mind and the thoughts of the physicians out of your mind and the thought of your insufficiency out of your mind. You have got to get to Jesus Christ and you got to get to Him now. And you'll leave in peace. Father, I thank You tonight for an opportunity to see a glorious text. I pray this text will never be the same anytime any of us ever reads it again. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Holy Spirit will work among us tonight during this invitation and help us, like this woman, see, first of all, the obvious, that everything else we've tried isn't working, and help us to see the obvious, that if we'll finally come to You and leave it with You, everything we need to get done about the problem will be done. Now your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. The question is, are you going to do like this woman did? That's the question. And only You can answer that question. And I pray You'll answer it in the affirmative. Father, I pray tonight that You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. That not only will Jesus Christ be glorified, but some folks needing some help will get it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray. Amen.